Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, this was not McDonald's. No shrink-wrapped slathering of cholesterol prepared by someone I've never met, eating while sitting across from, maybe even next to, somebody I've never seen before and will never see again. No, for us, food is simply a means to an end. I fill up my stomach with as much as possible, as quickly as possible, and then get on with life. This was not McDonald's. Jesus welcomed sinners and ate with them. The scribes and the Pharisees who watched Jesus knew exactly what Jesus was doing. By his reclining in their homes, by his dipping his bread in their stew, by lingering in conversation with them, they knew that Jesus was saying to these people, "You are acceptable to me. Your God is my God. You are worthy of my time and worthy of my attention. And I actually enjoy being with you." And of course, how did the scribes and Pharisees react to Jesus' acceptance of these sinners? They grumbled. They complained. This is not our idea of how God should be dealing with these people. So three people, a man, Jesus, who had two people that he was trying to teach, sinners who were welcomed, and religious leaders who grumbled. So Jesus tells some stories, each about three people. A shepherd who leaves 99 sheep to find the one lost one. There we go. A woman who forgets about the 9 coins to find the one lost coin. And a father who has a son who came home after being lost, and another son who never left home but was in fact lost. No doubt you've heard an awful lot about the one son, the prodigal, the one that came home, how his father waited for him, looking for him, and ran out to greet him, feet flying, rings, robes, fatted calf, the whole story. Right? We know that one. And we know that that son, that prodigal, is us. Because we had rejected the love of God, but have been restored by the work of another son on a cross. But the son we don't often hear about is son number two. Well, actually, son number one, the older son. The one who is out in the field doing what he thought he should be doing. The one who felt slighted, even angry, when that thief came back and his father welcomed him and ate with him, had a party with him. Did you notice in the reading how the older son expressed this? When his father told him that this brother of yours has come home, he couldn't accept that. "He's not my brother." He said to his father, "This son of yours. Don't make him my brother, because I cannot accept him. Celebrate all you want, welcome all you want, but I can't and I won't go in and eat with him." Yet the father pleads. It was necessary to celebrate and be glad. Come in. Come in to the meal and celebrate. But did he? Does he recognize the love that the father has both for the younger son and for the older one? Does he go in? The story kind of ends midair, doesn't it? There's no conclusion. We don't hear whether or not there was a reconciliation, whether he went into the meal. Maybe Jesus was planning on a sequel, Prodigal Man 2 or something. Well, no. Jesus left the story hanging. because the story is not really about a father and two sons. The story is about God's foolish love that sent a son to call everyone, those who assumed they were out, as well as those who assumed that they were in. And more specifically, that lots of people who thought they had God figured out, in fact, don't like God's foolish love for those kinds of people. The story is, in fact, about us. We, who have God pretty well figured out, have we really come to recognize that God's love is bigger than our love? That our ways of deciding who is in and who is out are unacceptable? That it is God who decides who is in? And when God calls one of them in, we celebrate? No, grumbling still happens. A dying inner-city congregation reluctantly agrees to allow a group of immigrants to use their building. Not on Sunday morning with them, but after they've gone back to the suburbs on Sunday afternoons. But every week, the complaints piled up. The newly waxed floor is scuffed up. The carpeting got a stain. A window was left open. And so in a meeting, they voted to exclude the immigrants not only from their worship services, but from their building as well. That congregation no longer exists. Another congregation has outgrown its current staff and recognizes that some people are not being shepherded. Something needs to be done. A proposal is made to bring in a staff person to work with the youth. And then comes the grumbling. The youth don't have any money. How are they going to pay for this? All they do is play video games anyway. We're better off waiting until they get married and have kids, and then we'll worry about them. And did you see the tattoo that one kid has, the one with the haircut? And did you see what that girl wore to church last week? Do we really want people like that coming to our communion rail? You see, grumbling happens. But it ends, too. It ends here, at this place. When at a meal, those whom God has called are gathered together. Immigrant, founding member, teen, housewife, businessman, you and me. And here we have fellowship with one another because we have fellowship with the Son, Jesus Christ. Here we see what the kingdom is all about. And here we celebrate the love of God for sinners. What is the greatest day in the life of a congregation? The laying of a cornerstone, the completion of a building project, the paying off of a mortgage, the dedication of a pipe organ, the installation of a new pastor. All these are great things to celebrate, but these are only means, aren't they? Means things which enable the people of God to gather together and celebrate what God has done in Christ. No, the greatest day in the life of a congregation is that day when one sinner has been grabbed hold of by the Holy Spirit. Faith is created, water is sprinkled, a triune God is confessed. That day when one person has been found and that person is brought to this place where the people of God gather around the gifts of God and celebrate together. A day, in fact, not unlike today. And so today, we celebrate. Amen.